One thing we get mixed up in the church these days is the administration of the organization or whatever it's called versus the spiritual leading of the flock of God. Those are two separate things. And when we look at leadership in the church, it is talking about leading the people of God.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Vancouver Bible Fellowship in Vancouver, Washington, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Vancouver Bible Fellowship.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a comment from Laura from Oregon. She says, boy, I'm just feasting on the word. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Well, Laura, thank you so much for your encouragement to us, and we are so thankful for God giving us the privilege to share his word, and so thankful it's working in the lives of those who are listening.
Greg, today you're talking about leadership in the church, and specifically how we are to respond to that leadership. Why do you think it is so difficult for us to follow our leaders?
You know, Dave, I think the problem is twofold. I think, first of all, we have shepherds who are not leading their sheep in a godly manner, and then we have sheep who don't want to be led.
Sure.
And I really think the basis of this comes from a lack of clear and accurate teaching from the Word of God concerning what it means to be a leader and what it means to be those who place themselves under their shepherds in local assemblies. Mm. And quite frankly, we see in the church a lack of submissiveness and disobedience and rebellion. But there's good news. God instructs us how we are to respond to our shepherds. So in today's broadcast, we're going to take a closer look at the responsibility of leaders in the church and the responsibility of the flock to their elders. Our text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. Feed, shepherd. And then notice what he says again. He said, and the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, most sermons make it about the love part, and that's true. He's talking about that. But he's saying, if you love me, then do this. They don't add the second part. Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, and he says it again, tend or feed my sheep. Feed, shepherd, feed. He's talking about feeding. If you love me, Peter, you're going to feed my sheep. That is how Peter is restored. He says, feed, shepherd, feed. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter got it. He understood it, inspired by the Spirit. He said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as they were the utterances of God. If you've got a speaking gift, it better be God's word. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 for a second. Hebrews 13, and we had this read earlier. Verse 7. And these Hebrew believers were suffering, and there were some who were identifying with them who weren't saved or who were ready to turn away. And he's talking to the believers here in these last commands, as we read. He says in verse 7, remember those who led you, that's your leaders, who spoke the word of God to you. And considering the result of their conduct, do this, imitate their faith. He doesn't say, remember those who led you and spoke the word of God. He says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. That's how they led you. See, one thing we get mixed up in the church these days, and we'll see this later on, is the administration of the organization or whatever it's called versus the spiritual leading of the flock of God. Those are two separate things. And when we look at leadership in the church, it is talking about leading the people of God, spiritually speaking. Now, God has those with other gifts to take care of the administrative realities of the body of Christ. We see that in Acts chapter 6 and other places. But this is speaking about leadership. So we get a little confused at churches these days. But here he says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. The biblical leadership and the proclamation of the word of God is inseparable. We're going to see that. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You see, it's the word of God that the flock needs to survive spiritually. And think about it. If you have a father who lets his children starve to death and says all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you, but doesn't give them any food, does he really love them? Should not the shepherds be feeding the flock? You might remember earlier in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he talked about the word of God which performs its work in you who believe. You see, it was God through his word who called us unto himself through the gospel. We were born again through the living and abiding word of God which was preached to you. And God uses that same word to make us adequate, equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It is the word of God that causes us to grow in respect to salvation, 2 Peter 2:2. There's no shortcut, there's no program or book, although you see it in churches these days. God uses his spirit-empowered word to conform us to the image of Christ. That's the goal of our salvation. Spiritual leadership and the proclamation of the word are inseparable, and one element of godly leaders is that they share the word of God. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Now, along with that idea of sharing the word of God, the responsibility for leaders is also to protect the flock from threats to the word and thus their souls. We see this in Acts 20. Turn to Acts 20 again. If you kept your finger in there, you might still be there. But Acts 20. So everything centers around feeding, but there are threats to their feeding. There are threats to their walk with Christ. There are bad people out there who disguise themselves. You can look at 2 Corinthians 11. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and there's no wonder his servants do also. They say they love Jesus, but you'll see it in their actions. Acts 20:28. Be on guard for yourselves, this is to the elders, and for the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God. Shepherd, that's to feed them in the context. You can read through that passage, and to protect them, which he purchased with his own blood. They are so valuable. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That's a metaphor. They're going to come in, they're going to try to destroy the flock, just like wolves with sheep. And from among your own selves, men will arise. That's from the inside. Speaking perverse things or perverted things, basically perversing things. That's how it's said. To do what? To draw away disciples after them. They want you to follow them so subtly. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Paul was broken up over this. So the responsibility of elders to feed the flock, but also protect the flock from threats from without and threats from within. Very important responsibility. There also need to be there to silence those false teachers. Titus 1 again. I'm going to read this for you. You can certainly turn there, but I'll read this. Titus 1:9, elders are to be holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Elders need to refute the contradictors. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. That would be Jews at that time. Who must be silenced, it says. Because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Now, we don't have time to go over all the other passages about the reasons why. The ladies have been looking this in James, but the reasons why people want to become teachers. Remember, let not many of you become teachers. The reasons why, it's for sordid gain. Whether it's the popularity of people, whether they are a hireling just to do the job, whatever it might be. They are hidden reefs in your love feasts. So Paul said, I was broken up over this for 3 years, warning you to watch over because it's going to happen. And I see so clearly those who are not called to be elders, who are elders, who do not do this, and the churches are devastated. Well, they may look like they're doing well, but they're devastated because the flocks are emaciated. So then there's no shortcut program or book. God uses his word to grow us in respect to salvation, and his leaders bring forth the word of God, and they protect you from threats to the word of God, which is ultimately your relationship with the Lord. We function by his word working in our hearts by his spirit. Now, we're going to see later on in our passage that elders also have spiritual charge over the flock. They rule over them, and they watch over them, and they will give an account. 1 Peter 5, 1 Timothy 5, and Hebrews 13. It's serious business. That's why when we had an elder leave, we haven't appointed one right away. We need time to make sure this one's the right one. This is God's. Praise the Lord, getting close. Now, one other thing, within the church, there are elders who watch over the flock, who shepherd the flock's spiritual condition with the word of God coming alongside, as we'll see, exhorting, whatever it might be. And there are also elders who have a pastor-teacher gift, who preach and teach. There are those also. They're not all the same. Look at 1 Timothy 5:17. He says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of a double honor." Especially in the way the phrase is in the original language, especially including this other group in a sense. Especially those who do what? Work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing. The laborer is worthy of his wages." There are some elders within the body of Christ who have a pastor-teacher gift, Ephesians chapter 4, for the equipping of the saints, the building up of the body of Christ, who work hard at preaching and teaching. They oversee, they lead the flock, they shepherd, they feed, but they also have that teaching gift, as you see. And so then, back to our passage back in 1 Thessalonians. I really can't share all the things about elders, but just a little bit there to kind of think about. You can look at those verses later on to see that it's so. So back to our passage, this young church, less than a year old in the faith. And it's interesting because I think the reason why he doesn't say elders here is because they are so young. God is raising these people up and they're starting to function in that capacity in a sense. And you see that in churches where someone begins to do what God has called them to do and then they're recognized in a sense. They're recognized because that's part of who they are in Christ and their gifting. And they raise up and they're recognized. And so here in this young church, we have the phraseology in this way concerning leaders. He says in verse 12, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you." They shepherd the flock among you, not the flock in Louisiana, but the flock among you. They shepherd the flock of God among you. And he says, appreciate those. There's a plurality of leadership. And so with that, what does our passage say concerning what godly leaders look like? Now he's going to talk about, and we'll talk about this more specifically, that you appreciate, and also later on, that you hold them in very high esteem. Those are the two commands. We request, we entreat you. You know, Paul, inspired by the Spirit, is not saying you must appreciate someone. You know, you can't be forced to appreciate anybody, right? It has to be a heart change where you see something very important and valuable and you appreciate that. And we're going to see leaders are valuable because of their work, what they do. It is very important. And therefore, they are to be appreciated. It's to be a heart condition that causes one to respond this way. Well, what do they do? Notice there's three things, and we'll look at each one. He says, we're asking you to appreciate, or literally we'll see, to know. We'll talk about that in a minute. First part, those laboring among you. Second part, those leading you in the Lord and admonishing you. Those who labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Those who lead you, those who, as we'll see in a minute, admonish you, and those who work hard among you. Now, in this context, the original language, it points to three specific things, but it points to one group doing those three specific things. It's not three different groups doing that, and you appreciate each group separately. And I believe in that sense, it's affirmed by verse 13. He says, "And that you esteem them," that's the whole group, "very highly in love because of their work." It's the whole nine yards, those three things. Laboring, leading, and as we will see, admonishing. So what's the first characteristic from our passage we can see about leadership in the church that we need to understand in terms of those we are to appreciate? He says here, those, first of all, who diligently labor among you. The term diligently labor is not our normal word for work, ergon. It speaks of continual strong exertions, struggle, hard work. It can be used to speak of physical labor, becoming weary and tired. The word carries that sense to it, that you've grown weary and tired through that work. Obviously, he's speaking of leaders in this context, and first of all, he says they diligently labor among you. Well, how do they diligently labor? We're going to certainly see they admonish the flock and they watch over their souls. There's no doubt about that. But this term, diligently work, is often used in the context of the bringing forth the word of God also. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. "And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man," that's what they do, with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's what the church should be doing. And for this purpose, Paul says, I labor, I exert myself to the point of exhaustion. For this purpose, Paul says. We have the same word in 1 Timothy 5:17 that I read earlier, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. It is often used in the context of the Word of God coming forth. They struggle, they strive intensely to bring you the Word of God. Those are the ones you appreciate. Ministry, if it's done in the context of yieldedness to the Spirit of God and God's will, where we are to preach the Word in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction, if that's the case, it is hard work. If you have teaching gifts, if you're leading children's church, you're preaching, teaching a Bible study, whatever it might be, you cannot just walk in on Sunday and do it. You need to work hard in the Word of God with a submitted heart. Lord, I can't understand this. You must illumine this for me. Help me see what you want me to share, what you intended from the Word. Ministry is hard work. It is exhausting work in the Word. I'm not talking about hard work in some workbook or looking for illustrations or stories. Toss all that stuff out and focus on the Word of God. I was taught in seminary. There's lots of sermon websites. I see other pastors, and you may not know this if you're in another church, whatever it might be. Their sermons are regurgitated from Rick Warren or Bill Hybels. They just get them and they just regurgitate these series. It's not hard work at all. So many pastors working hard looking for stories and illustrations, looking for applications, trying to figure out ways to get people in the church or keep them in the church, or looking at the reformers' writings or whatever it might be. Very few pastors diligently working hard, laboring intensely in the Word of God to exhaustion. Very few. This passage says, appreciate those who diligently labor among you in that context, as we'll see. We'll see. They admonish you in a minute. We'll see that. So those worthy of appreciation, esteem the Lord, work hard. They struggle and strive to bring forth, as we'll see. I'll show you the Word of God. And some elders don't preach and teach, yet they work hard in the Word of God as they are trying to rightly divide it and place it across your life to protect you. You'd be surprised how many times someone comes with some weird thing they've heard or whatever it might be, or some book, and the research that needs to be done in the Word of God to show them and to explain to them rightly how wrong that is. Those who work hard as they watch over your souls, who rightly divide the Word of God, who are workmen, not needing to be ashamed, 2 Timothy 2:15, but handling accurately the Word of truth. They're workmen. Very few people work hard in what is the most important thing in the church. And notice, besides working hard, another characteristic back in our passage, he says, and have charge over you in the Lord. The term proistimi, it means pro before, istimi, to stand. They stand before you in a sense. They have charge over you. We don't want to hear this. Someone has charge over me? Well, we'll see. It's you voluntarily submit to that or not. The word has a sense of someone who is responsible, standing before. Appreciate those who are responsible for you, who have charge over you. Romans chapter 12, verse 8, it is translated, he who leads. Same word translated as we saw in 1 Timothy 5:17. Those elders who rule well. Now, this leadership is biblical servant leadership, obviously. Godly leaders are not overlords or CEOs. They are servant leaders, but yet they still have charge over you, spiritually speaking. They will tell you things in the Word to direct your heart to follow Christ rightly. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We see that they're not to lord over, but they have charge, spiritual charge. This is a day when no one wants to hear anything from somebody. No one wants to hear, hey, you know, I'm concerned about where you're at. I've been looking at this, and here's what God's Word says, and I love you. You know, no one wants to hear that. Boom, trying to go to another church where I can hang out in the back and no one talks to me. 1 Peter 5. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, and notice Peter's humility, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker of the glory that's to be revealed. Notice what he says, shepherd the flock. We saw what that is. Feeding, protecting, leading, addressing sin, as we'll say. He says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain. Hey, not for, as the New King James, filthy lucre. Not for what you get out of it. whether it's money or prestige. A lot of pastors, it's not the money, it's the prestige. It's people falling. We saw that in Acts. But with eagerness, not yet as lording over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And what's that example? We saw that back in Hebrews chapter 13. Remember those who led you, who gave you the word of God, and consider the outcome of their conduct and imitate their faith, their trust in Jesus. That's what you imitate. You imitate their trust in Jesus. He says, being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you're not the chief shepherd. When he appears, he's the chief shepherd. You'll receive the unfading crown of glory. The reality is God has placed leadership in the church, but the church these days isn't really the church. Half of it's non-believers who think they're saved, so the leadership structure is totally broken down. But here we see that we are commanded in the body of Christ to submit. I never even thought of anything different in the churches I was in before. Just like, yes, yes, Lord, there was not even a question. If you've got a changed heart, or you haven't been corrupted by sin, by your decisions, there's no question. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders. The term obey is not a very good word these days. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. It's not obeying them when they're telling you what to do about this and this and this. It's obeying them in the context of your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. And submit to them. They say to you, look, that stuff is no good, that naturopathy, well, that's not from the Lord. Listen to them. They share the word of God. Whatever it might be, there's a ton of illustrations. Look, that book, The Shack, that is evil. You should not be in that at all. You know what I'm saying? They're telling you something spiritually to obey your leaders. They're protecting your soul. Small examples. And he says, as those who will give an account, let them do that with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. There is charge in the church, but it's a spiritual charge for the protection of your walk with Jesus Christ. It's not telling you what type of car to drive or how you should live or should you go to the dance or not. It's not saying that. It's talking about your walk with Jesus Christ. A spiritual charge over you. That's what the word says here. Those are the ones you are to appreciate. So if you've never allowed someone to have spiritual charge over you, how can you appreciate someone? How can you appreciate that if you haven't let your leaders do that? Folks, the world rebels against authority in every relationship unless it does them benefit. Shouldn't be this way in the body of Christ.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Greg's message today is from his series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, when considering where to go to church, how important is the leadership in that church a part of our decision?
Oh, the question of leadership is absolutely crucial when one is considering choosing a church. You see, everything rises and falls on the leadership of a church. Indeed, in a church where the leaders know their biblical calling, when they teach and preach God's word and protect and care for the flock in a righteous and godly manner, then the flock is going to benefit in the relationship with Christ.
Sure.
But if the leadership is untrained or unwilling to execute these duties according to Scripture, then the flock will be at risk, and the entire church, quite frankly, will be vulnerable to attacks and divisions. So when choosing a church, I would be less concerned about the label on the door and more concerned about who is leading the church. Mm-hmm. Are they faithfully in every aspect teaching and preaching the word of God, equipping the saints for the work of service? And once you find a church with godly leadership, or if you're already in a church with godly leadership, submit yourself to the authority that God has placed over you in them. allow them to teach and admonish you. Serve them and serve the congregation by His strength, and you will find great joy as you walk with the Lord in the context of a biblical local church.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Vancouver Bible Fellowship.